Right. So we're doing Rosh Hashanah, the third parak. See if we get a little bit. See if we're able to get it all to the fourth parak. But I want to start from the Mishnah Chavav and Aleph. Basically, the Nyanim of Shaifer, Tkiyah Shaifer, the Shaifer itself, the Tkiyahs, Malchus Chaynis and Shaifers, and so on. That's these Nyanim. The early part of the Masechet is Kiddush Chaydish. So it's very beautiful in Nyanim. I assume the Elam is going to prepare the Gemara Shetais for stuff. I think that's going to be a prerequisite to get the Elis out of this year. I'm going to try not to overburden with my Mekhemis. Maybe once in a while, at the end of the year, I'll give you things that you should look at before the next year. Well, let's start without any further ado. The Mishnah says, Kol HaShayfas, Shayrim, Chutz Mishal Parav, Neishu Keren. Tanakhama says, all shayfas, meaning shayfas of all different kinds of animals, are all kosher for shayfa and Rosh Hashanah, with the exception of a shayfa shalpara, because a shayfa shalpara is not called a shayfa, it's called a keren. Rashi says, kol shayfas, ben shal ayil, ben shal yoel, whether it's from a ram or from a gazelle, that has to do with the next Mishnah, meaning whether it's a shayfa that's very bent or very straight, different shapes and varieties of shayfa, they're all kosher. Except for shayfa shalpara shul keren, says Rashi, ain't a kari shayfa. It's not called, doesn't have the name shayfa, it has the name keren. But gabiyam a kiburim, shayfa exif. In the Pesukim Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say the word shayfa at all. It says, game true a yulachem. You have to blow, maybe it's a chatsetra, maybe it's a trombone. How do we know what to blow? So the Gemara says that we're learning Zera Shava, the next parak, we're learning Zera Shava from the Shafer of Yovel, Yom Kippur of Yovel, every 50 years, Yom Kippur of Yovel, they would go Shafer. That would be the simin that the Shiluach Havodim and Chazaras Karkois and so on. That was the Yom Kippur of Yovel. And there Itaka says, Vavar to Shafer Turah. So the Perek Basar Gamin and Rosh Hashanah Yovel. So therefore, in the Maisa by Yovel, it says the word Shafer. So in order to be kosher, it has to have the name Shafer. And the Shafer of Apara says in Tanakhama, it's not called the Shafer, it's called the Keren. We'll see in the Gemara, we're in the Gemara says from Chasher Hadalai, and it's the Kane Reinkarno, it's called the Ker. Om Rabbi Yasi, so Rabbi Yasi disagrees. Dr. Rabbi Yasi, if I lay, call a Shaifas Nikru Ker. Shanema Bim Shaifas Beker and Ayevo. All Shaifas have the name Ker. The fact that something is called the Ker doesn't preclude it also being called the Shaifas. After all, the pasuk says when they went around the walls of Yericho, so Yeshua said to them that they should, when they been shayf bekeren ayevel, v'shamachem kol hashayfer, that when they hear the keren ayevel, the keren of the ayevel is a ram, v'shamachem kol hashayfer, and they hear the shayfer. Apparently, those are synonymous terms. So they should break their pitchers with they have pitchers with torches inside, and they should break them and make a big noise, and then they should, attack Yericho. So you see that Yovel and Shofar are the same thing. It's Shaykh Bekaran Yovel, B'Shamachem Kol HaShofar. So you see that a Shofar, it's synonymous terms. So the fact that the horn of a para is called a Karen doesn't indicate that it's not also a Shofar, and therefore it's kosher. So Rashi is chaylik on the Tanakhama, and he says that a Shofar, that even if Shofar shall para is kosher. It's up to Gemara. That becomes Rabbi Yasi. Rabbi Yasi has a good point. What's the Rabbanan's time that the Shayfer Shalpara is called a Keren? They're all called Keren. So my answer is Rabbanan, Kol HaShayfer Ikru Shayfer Ikru Keren. Most Shayfers, they're called Shayfer, like a Shayfer of a ram, like in this pasuk by Yeshua. Shayfer of a ram is called a Shayfer and it's called a Keren. But the Para, Keren Ikri, Shayfer Le Ikri. The Ksubchar Shayfer Hadulai, the Kainay Re'im Kain. The Shor of a Pet, the horn of a Para, we only find that it's called a Keren. We don't find that it's called a Shayfer. So Mela, that's no good. Rabbi Yasi Amalach, to which Rabbi Yasi responds, Amalach, the Parah Nami Yikri Shayfer. I'll show you a pasuk where a Parah, the horn of a Parah, is also called a Shayfer. The Chsev Asita Vlashem Mishor Parah. So David Amalach said that my tefillos should be miskabel like the carbon that Adam Rishon was makev at the beginning of the Bria. So the lashon of the pasuk is Rasita Lashem Yishar Par Makrin Mafis. So this shor that Adam Rishon was makrev, because I'll talk about that, the shor that Adam Rishon was makrev, It only had one horn. It was a special shark. It was like a unicorn. It only had one horn in its forehead. And it was makin mafis. It's kanoisuv called the precise of it emerged whole out of the ground. It's kanayim came out of the ground before its hooves. So it's makin mafis. It was a famous special part. So my tefillah should have that quality, like the first carbon that was ever brought in the world. Anyway, my tefillah should be, I suppose, as fresh as the first carbon that was ever brought in the world. The shor shikiv adam rishon. So it's called the shor par. So what does it mean, a shor par? In shor loma par, in par loma shor. If it's a shor, it's not a par. And if it's a par, it's not a shor. Rashi says that a shor is a par is when it's full grown. And the shor is not necessarily full grown. But anyway, these are two different, it's two terms. Why is it, what's shor par? Say shor or say par. Elamai shor par, it's an acronym, mishofar. It's referring to the shofar that this par had a shofar in its forehead. I told you that the Chazal say elsewhere that it only had one shofar, it only had one horn in its forehead. So that was its unique feature. So you see that a shofar of a par, you see that the horn of a par is called the shofar. Rabbanon, they say, no, that's not shad in the pasuk. Kedir amasin, domer amasin, my shofar par. Shugodel kipar, that when it was a shor, the minute it was born, it was already a shor. It had this, it was full blown, it was fully as large as a par, because it was the shor of Maaseh Bereishis was created fully grown. So that's the Gemara. I'm not going to go now into all the problem of these drushes because I really want to. I'm not going to be able, in the time that we have allotted available to us. I don't want to go. I'm not going to be able to go through every single. It's not like we have a whole winter at our disposal. So I'm going to have to pick and choose a little bit, one in Yonim to get into and one in Yonim not to go into. I do not want to go into so much the details of this drosha and which psukim the Gemara chooses to quote and so on. There's a discussion here in Taisus, Arichas Dor. But I just want to say, Bekitzer, that it seems from Taisus, where Taisus learns this Gemara, that the issue of which animal's horns are called a shofar and which are called a keren, It's totally arbitrary. Meaning there's no rule. Some horns are called shofar, and some short horns are not called a shofar, they're called a keren. I'm not called neither. Taisus is married. Taisus has all discussion of here. What about animals that are not mentioned in Torah at all? What about Lamoshel? The next mission is going to talk about the shofar of a yoel. A yoel is an ibex or something. It's not mentioned in Chumash. Or even if it is mentioned in Chumash, some Yishayim say maybe it's identical with the ta'oi, which is one of the 10 kosher animals that the Torah mentions. There are more than 10 kosher animals in the world. The Torah mentions 10 kosher animals. So one of them is toy. So sof alavov. So the targum of soy is yoel. So somebody's trying to point that out, that a yoel is a toy. So even if it's mentioned though, but it's not, its horn is not mentioned. It doesn't say anywhere in Torah if the horn of a yoel is a keren or is it a shofar. And yet it's kosher. The next Mishnah says that shofar shel yoel Rosh Hashanah. You could use the shofar of a yoel. How do you know? Maybe it's a keren. Maybe it's a shofar. You see in Agamar that some things are a shofar and some things are a keren. So basically, Taisus says that those things that are not mentioned in Torah at all, we can assume that they're a shofar. They may be called a keren too, like the Rabbi Yossi pointed out. All shofars are called the keren. Even the shofar of a ram, which is the paradigm of a shofar, it says b'shem b'shofar keren ayovel. It could be called the keren too. Everything could be called the keren. But the presumption is that we have the presumption is. The presumption is if the Torah doesn't refer to it at all, then I assume that it's a shofar. If the Torah refers to it as a keren, then we need to bring proof that somewhere else the Torah refers to it as a shofar. So shofar shel of a ram, it's true, the Torah calls it a keren, like you see by Yeshua, Meshech b'keren ayayel. But I do find elsewhere the Torah also refers to it as a shofar. So that's kosher. But something that I know the Torah refers to it as a keren, like the shofar of a par, So there, the Torah refers to it as a Karen, and I don't find anywhere that the Torah refers to it as a Shofar. Basically, have this Shor Par of the Madarishan, but the Chum don't have that drasha. So we don't find anywhere that the Shor of a Par is referred to as a Shofar. So then we have to assume, since we know that it's called a Karen, we don't know if it's called anywhere a Shofar, so we have to assume that it's a Karen and not a Shofar. That's the Tosfos learns the Gemara. But there doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason to it. It's just a matter of, like all language things, it's a matter of convention. Some things are called a Karen, some things are called the Shofar, some things are called both. So I think the sense of it is, according to Tosfos, if I don't know if the Torah doesn't refer to it at all, so make a Tosfos that it's exclusively a Karen. The presumption is probably it's a Shofar. It might be a Karen too, but probably it's a Shofar. But if the Torah refers to it as a Karen, but that's like a Reis, I refer to it as Karen. So now the burden of proof is you have to prove that it's a Shofar. Otherwise, Mech Tesa, since the Torah refers to it as a Karen, maybe it's only a Karen. So I need somewhere to find that the Torah refers to it as a Shofar to outweigh the fact that I know the Torah refers to it as a Karen. So the point what I want to bring out is that I think according to Tesa, it's a matter of convention. Some things are convention, not human convention, but it's a matter of there are just some things that they're called a Shofar and some things are called a Karen and some things are called both. So when I know that it's called a Karen, it's like a Venn diagram. You have the class of Shofars, you have the class of Karens, and then there's an overlap. So if I know that it's called a Karen, I have to prove that this is from the things that, despite being a Karen, are a Shofar too. If I don't know otherwise, then I assume maybe there's a rave or something. I assume that it's a Shofar. But no, you can't ask why. Why is this a Karen and this a Shofar? That's how it is. If this is a Karen because it's a Karen. This is a Shofar because it's a Shofar. And the Torah says you have to use a Shofar. So you have to go figure out, is this a Shofar or not? So you have to look at the evidence of the Pesukim. What does it say? Is it mentioned in Pesuk at all? If it's mentioned, how is it mentioned? And then from the evidence of the Pesukim, we somehow figure out, is this a Karen or is it a Shofar? The Ramban, in his Drosha L'Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, the Seif Yom of the Ramban, moved to Eretz Yisrael, made Aliyah. And he was invited to give a drasha for Rosh Hashanah in the shul of the Balei HaTosfos. There was a shul of Balei HaTosfos, and the Ramban gave there a drasha. I don't know if it was on Rosh Hashanah or before Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban gave a drasha. The drasha wasn't like a sermon. He didn't get up and talk about, you know. He basically went through, it's printed, drashas are Ramban Rosh Hashanah, and he went through all the nyanim of the third and the fourth parak, all of the nyanim of Shofar and Tkiyah. And he presented his shittus in the Nyonim of Tkiyah Shofar. It's all chibur of the Ramban. In the new Chidush Ramban and Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they took all of the pieces from the drasha and they put them in Kaimam in the various on the daf. So if you have a new Chidush Ramban, all the material from the drasha is printed or is arranged according to the daf. So in the drasha of the Ramban, the Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban says, "I'm a chudish dekabshat in this Gemara." And Ramban says that the word Shofar comes from Shveferes, which is a tube. And it denotes something that's hollow, and therefore suitable to be used as an instrument. Karen is a generic word for a horn. Animals' horns, they have different kinds of horns. Some animals have horns that the horn is solid through and through. It's like one solid piece. If you want to make it into a Shofar, you have to take a drill, and you have to drill out the inside. But it's really one piece, it's one solid piece. That, in Loshon Kodesh, that's called a Karen, that's not a Shofar. It's a horn. The animal has a horn, but it's not a shviferis. It's not a tube. It's not naturally a musical instrument. So that's called a keren, and that's a vada possible shofar, because it's called a keren, and it's not called a shofar, but it's not arbitrary. It's not called a shofar because it's not suitable to be used as an instrument. Many of animals, that their horn is made, that the outside is tough material, and then the inside is soft. It's a soft material that can just be scooped out. And that naturally lends itself to be used as a shofar, and that's called a shofar because that's really the connotation of the word shofar, that it's shofaris, that it's a tube, and therefore suitable to be used as a shofar. That's normally speaking, the difference between a keren and a shofar is a zoological difference. There are some horns that are hollow, and lizenu kaim shofar, And then there are salad horns that are not hollow, and they're not called a shofar, and therefore they're pulse. The shofar of a parah, he says, is hollow. By rights, it looks like a shofar. It walks like a shofar. It quacks like a shofar. It should be a shofar. But we find in Torah that it's consistently referred to as a keren and never referred to as a parah. Since we find in Torah that it's always referred to as a keren and never referred to as a parah, that's an indication that a parah, that a shofar of a parah, despite the fact that it really naturally should be a shofar, it's more like shofars. If you looked at it, you examined it, you would say, oh, this is a shofar. But since we find in Torah that Torah never, in Tanakh, that it's never referred to as a shofar, so that's an indication that a shofar shel parah, for some other reason, not because it's not suitable for blowing, but for some other reason, the shofar of a parah is like a keren, that it's a horn, but it's not an instrument. So even according to the Ramban, it's arbitrary that the shofar of a parah is not called a shofar, but it's called a keren. But the Ramban holds that the word shofar and keren, usually they do represent some real difference. There's a real biological difference between something that's only a keren, it's only a horn, and not a shofar, and something that's a keren and a shofar. Something that's only a horn on an animal when it's alive, that's a keren, but it's not a shofar. Something that's suitable to use as an instrument because it's hollow, that's, yes, it's a keren too because it's the horn of an animal. But that's the real meaning of a shofar. It's a shofar, it's a horn that's suitable to be used as an instrument. A shofar shel parah is suitable to be used as an instrument, but the Torah somehow constantly eschews, never calls it a shofar. That already raises that already makes me think, says the Tanakhama, that it's an exception, that even though it ought to be suitable for a shofar, but the Torah does not allow it to be used as a shofar, and therefore doesn't have the name of shofar. He said the Ramban explains the Hemshech Gemara, because the Gemara now goes on and says other reasons why a shofar of a parah is no good. So the Gemara says, back in the Gemara, Ula Omar, I'm in time of the Rabbanon. This is why the Rabbanon passed the shofar shel parah. Kid Rav Chisda, the Omar of Chisda, they might claim God will nichnas, but they saw the Fnaival of Nimlava the Vaiva. Chisda said that the reason why a Kohen Gadol, why does he wear big day love in the kippur when he goes to do the avodah b'fnim? So he takes off, he doesn't wear his regular big day zov, the shmei begadim. He wears the four begadim of pure linen of a special begadim. Same as bad kodesh ilbash, ve'admet bad yachgar, and stuff as bad yitznayf. He wears special begadim of only love and four begadim. So what's the reason? So Chisda says, because gold is a reminder of the chet egel. And when he's going b'fnim to be mechaper and avodas of Bnei Yisrael, it's not appropriate that he should wear begodim that are a reminder of the primordial chet of Bnei Yisrael. So shofar shel parah for the same reason. Shofar shel parah is also a reminder of the chet eagle because it's a parah, it's an eagle, the same species. So that's why a shofar shel parah is no good. Let's read the whole Gemara, then I'll explain. The fact the Gemara, the loy vayikadam par. What about part of the value of Yom Kippur was that he bought the dam of the par that he shechted and he brought it into the Kodesh Kadosh and he sprinkled it. So why isn't that? Why isn't it also in Kateganas Senegar? It's a par. So the Gemara says, Hoyle Vishtani. It's not a par anymore. It's blood. That's different. Fact the Gemara, you can earn the kapiris, the kruv. In the Kodesh Kadosh was the earn, the Kodesh. The Aron, the Kapiris, the Kuv, they were all made out of gold. So Dr. Gemara, Chayte Bal Yaakov Kamina. Dr. Rashi, Chayte Bal Yaakov, Ha'odom Le'yakivenu Ha'loim Shehu Chotavai. Chayte Bal Yaakov means, the Aron and the Kapiris, they just stood there. That's, they had nothing to do with people. But the Kohen Gadol, when he goes into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he's bringing in his big days of. So that's, he's being makiv, the gold Ha'loim, here, into the Kodesh Kadoshim. But what about when he brought the Torah into the Kodesh Kadoshim? It was in golden utensils, the kaf and the machta. So the kaf had the coals, and the machta had the other end. The kaf had the Torah, and the machta had the coals that he was machtir. So in the Kodesh Kadoshim, he poured the Torah on the coals. So that's gold. And that's Chayti Bal Yaakov. So why? How is that okay? So after Gemara, Chayti Bal Yisnoi Kamina. But so it says Rashi, Chayti Bal Yisnoi Lihiskashet by Bikuvay Halayim. The Chayti shouldn't be Misnoi. He shouldn't adorn himself. The Govim that he's wearing, those he wears to adorn himself, the Chavit L'Tefaras. So that's not appropriate. That should be Shulzah. But the Kalim that he uses to bring Makiv of the Torah, that's not a problem. Back to Gemara, he could be Bezov in Bechutz. But what about if Ein Kateg Anasas Hanegar, so throughout the whole year when he wore, or even Yom Kippur itself, when he wore Big Days Off for all the avodas that were done outside of the Kodesh Kadoshim. So why isn't that a problem? So the Gemara Bifnim Kaminon. It's only the Kodesh Kadoshim that is a problem. Right, the Gemara, Shayfa Nami B'Chutzu. So what about Shayfa? You're telling me Shayfa Shalpar, Ula says Shayfa Shalpar is possible for the same reason. Because Ein Kateg Anasas Hanegar. But that's out of the Kodesh Kadoshim. You don't put Shayfa in the Kodesh Kadoshim. And for the Gemara, Kavim Lizikaron Uki Bifnim Dovim. Since the shofar is lizikaron, zichron to it, becoming lizikaron, so that's like bifnim. Look, Rashi, heim lizikaron osik lifnim dami shofar nami afgat the less mishum chayti bar yakim, less mishum chayti bar yisnoa, heim lizikaron kosi pikik kibig the going can gadol shul lifnim dami. Back to Marv, Tanu Meishu Karen Kamar. 1 second. So Ula is saying the reason why Shofar Shofar is no good because Ein Kateg Anasas Hanegar. But that's not what it says in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says it's no good because it's not called the Shofar. It's called the Keren. So the Gemara says, Chod v'oid kama, Chod v'Ein Kateg Anasas Hanegar, v'oid v'neishu Keren. On the face of it, it's somewhat difficult. If there's two reasons, why does the Mishnah only give one? The Ramban says that since the reason of the Mishnah is a weak reason, so Ula butters is it with this other reason of Ein Kateg Anasas Hanegar. And the same thing with the next Gemara. Gemara says, "Bayom Mahayna Tanaya Darbonin Shofar Marchmona Vleishnayim Mishloishis Shofars." The reason why a shofar shalpar is no good is because the Torah says you have to blow one shofar, not many. Like we'll see later on. There's a Mishnah that if you put one shofar inside the other, it's no good. So the Gemara says, so Abai says, "V'hod the paranami came with the koy gildi mischazi kishnayim ishloisha shofas." A shofar shalpar every year it grows out a little bit, so it looks like you can see the layers from each successive year. So that looks like shnayim ishloisha shofas. Back to the Gemara about Tanim Eishu Keren Kamar. So again, chod the oid kamar, chod the shofar echad merchmanav lo shnayim ishloisha shofas. The oid of Eishu Keren. Rabbi Yisrael Yom Lof the kam shofar echad merchmanav lo shnayim ishloisha shofas came in the mechabi adodi echadu. That's the end of the Gemara. So again, the Ramban says, so Ula and Abai come and they add new reasons to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the Shofar Shalpar is no good because it's called the Keren. It's not called the Shofar. And they come along and they supply new reasons. Ein Kateg Anasas Hanegar, according to Rav Chisda, according to Ula, based on Rav Chisda. Or because it looks like Shnayim Shleisha Shofar, according to Abai. So what are they adding to the Mishnah? The Mishnah said a different reason. So the Gemara says, Chod Avoid. So I told you, the Ramban says, what's this Chod Avoid? Because the reason of the Mishnah is weak. So therefore, they gave new reasons. So on the face of it, it's very hard to understand. If their reasons are better than the reasons of the Mishnah, then the Mishnah should give their reasons. If the Mishnah's reasoning is weak, and these are stronger reasons, then why does the Mishnah give the weak reason and not the strong reasons? But I think in the light of the other Ramban that we saw before, what the Ramban means is the following. It means be'etzim, like we said before, there's a biological difference between a shofar and a keren. And a parah on the face of it should be a shofar. It looks suitable for shofar. It looks suitable. It's hollow. It lends itself to be made into an instrument. L'chayr, it should be a shofar. What did the Mishnah say? The Torah doesn't call it a shofar. Apparently, the Torah always calls it consistently, always calls it a keren. So Raya, the Torah doesn't consider it to be acceptable as a shofar. So there's like evidence in the Pesukim. Now, in a way, that's weak. That's a weak reason. What does it mean it's a weak reason? It means, there's an expression, lo ra'inu einai raya. Just because we don't find anywhere a Pesuk that a shofar shalpar is called a shofar, what's the raya that it's not a shofar? We would expect that it should be a shofar. So maybe if we had more Pesukim, maybe there would be a Pesuk somewhere that it is a shofar. These are the Pesukim that we have. In other words, who knows, Just because we don't find anywhere, a shofar of a ram is also sometimes called the keren, but it's called the shofar too. Maybe shofar shalpar, maybe just a coincidence. that we never find a pasuk anywhere that it's called a shofar. But maybe it really is a shofar. So Ha'ula and Abaye are coming to tell me that since there's a svara why I might be predisposed to think that maybe shofar shel paras taka not appropriate, because ain't gonna take an asaregar, or because it's nechzi, it looks a little bit like two or three shofars. That means that I already have a prejudice. I have already a notion in my mind that maybe a shofar shel paras is not the best thing to be used as a shofar. And then I look at Sukkim and I talk, I find that it's not called a shofar anywhere. So that makes me think that there really is significance. It's not a statistical accident, but there's really significance to the fact that the Torah never calls a shofar shel paras, never calls the horn of a paras shofar. It's taka because it's not appropriate to be used as a shofar, either because it's katega nachas anegor, or because it's mischazi k'shtayim v'shloshes shofars. And I would add also, why do I need that? Why not just say shofar shel paras possible because it's katega nachas anegor? Let's just say shofar shel paras possible because it's katega nachas anegor. I think the answer is ain't katega nachas anegor is an explanation that we give for something that Torah already told us. The Torah said you have to wear big day lovin. The kan gadol ufnim wears big day lovin. So we don't know. So we can say time of the crook because ain't katega nasis anegar. We would never say l'mashal if there would be no pasuk in achay mois that when you go l'fnai v'l'fnim you have to wear big day lovin. We don't say pasuk. We would never say on our own. You know what? Maybe the kain gadol when he goes l'fnai v'l'fnim should take off his big day zov. Ain't katega nasis anegar. It's a time of the crook. We can't make it, but we can't invent new halachas on that basis. If I have already halacha that says that the Kohen Gadol wears big day love, and I could say, you know, the time of the Kohen makes sense, because Ein Katega Nasis Anegar. The same thing, the Shofar that Rabbi said, that the Shofar of a Parah, it looks like Shnayim Rishloshe Shofars. It's not really Shnayim Rishloshe Shofars. Even Rabbi said, it's just Mishkazi. It looks like Shnayim Rishloshe Shofars. About it, organically, it's one Shofar. It's not really like taking two or three Shofars. It just looks like two or three Shofars. So on our own, we would never say, oh, since it looks like two or three Shofars, let's decide that it's possible. It wouldn't be a strong enough reason to decide that it's possible. But what it's only enough that if I find some kind of remez in Torah, that the Torah itself seems to indicate that the shofar shel paras is no good. But I'm not 1,000% convinced that there's really significance to the language of the, maybe it's just a coincidence that the Torah never calls it a shofar. So I say, no, it's not a coincidence. It makes sense that the Torah never calls it a shofar because Ein Katega Nasis Anegar and because it's Mischazi K'shtayim V'Shloshes Shofars. So it gives significance and weight to the fact that the Torah never calls it a shofar. But the reason why a shofar shel paras is possible is not because Ein Katega Nasis Anegar. It's possible because the Torah doesn't call it a shofar. But the reason why I see that as being significant is because I taka say that it would make sense for the Torah not to call it a shofar, for the Torah not to want it to be a shofar because either Ein Katega Nasis Anegar or because it's gildy, it's mischaim kishnayim v'shloshes shofars and so on. With big places, I think that's what Taisus means. I'm sorry, the Ramban. That's what the Ramban means when he says the reason of the Mishnah is weak, so we buttress it with these taimim. Again, Kalmer, my question was if the reason of the Mishnah is weak and these taimim are better, so then just say these taimim. The answer is these aren't reasons that on their basis alone I could pass the shofar shel paras. The time of the cook kind of reasons. If the Torah says we're big, they love, and I can say it's shot. Oh, it's because enkatei and nasa negative. If the Torah says shofar shel paras is possible, I could say, oh, it's because it looks like two or three. It looks like shnayim v'shloshes shofars, but it's not a psul on its own. But it lends significance to the fact that the Torah doesn't call a shofar shel paras shofar, that I then read that as meaning that the Torah itself, by not calling it a shofar, meant to pass it because gildi, and because of Ein Katega Nasis Anegar. Initially, Ein Katega Nasis Anegar. Turi Evan, Shagasai is a Chibur and a Shoshana. Turi Evan. The Shagasai asks Akasha, he says, what were the begodim? The Kohen Gadol normally wore 8 begodim. He had a mitzvahs, tzitz, and a me'il, the ephod. The Ephod, the Ketanis, the Mechnasayim, the Avnet, and the Cheshem. If I'm not missing something. The Shmoyne Begodim, when he went into the Kodesh Kadoshim, he wore only four begonim. He wore a mitznefes, kleinis, abnet, and mechnasai. So he took off the tzitz. It's made out of gold. So I understand. He didn't wear the tzitz because it's made out of gold. He took off the chayshin. I understand. It's made out of gold. He took off the me'il. I understand. The me'il had ha'amaynezov. It had the bells of gold. So there's gold. Can't wear gold. What else? The ephod had gold threads strung into it, threaded in it. So also gold. So he didn't wear the ephod. But he wore four begotten. But the four begotten that he wore, one of them was the avnet. The avnet that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur when he went lefnai v'lefnim was made out of pure pishtun. Einis bad kodesh yilbash. The avnet bad yachar was pure linen. The avnet that the Kohen Gadol wore the whole year round was made out of tcheles v'argon v'selashoni v'sheishimazor. Was made out of wool and linen, colored wool and linen, but no gold. Why did he change the avnet from the avnet of the Gemara calls the avnet of shatnes, because the colored wool was wool, and it also had linen, so it was shatnes. It's the Torah says you're allowed to wear it, because that's the case, of course, Kongodol was allowed to wear shatnes. On him, why did he change the avnet? The avnet wasn't gold. There's no enkateganas senegar in the avnet. If you're ready, give me your reasons. You want to say it's exeris hakosov, it's exeris hakosov. But Rav Chitz is saying, no, there's a reason over here. The Kohen Gadol, when he went with Naiv Lefim, he changed his begodim because ain't kategor nasa senegar. So you explained why he took off all the begodim that had zov in it, that had zov in them. But why did he change the avnet from an avnet of shatness to an avnet of bad, of pishton? Why? There's no ain't kategor nasa senegar. Stemmer and pishton are not the kategor of the cheta egel. So why did the apnea change? Again, you want to say if it would be exeris hakosov, it's exeris hakosov. We're not mechuyev to give reasons for anything. But if Rav Chizkiya is already telling me that there's a rhyme and reason, because ein kategor nasa senegar, so that doesn't explain why was the apnea different. The pirevin remains with the kash. Now, Pemis. We can answer that since the Kohen Gadol was already not wearing the regular begodim of the Kohen Gadol, because he had to take off all the other four, the extra four begodim, the tzitz, the eifet, the chayshim, the meil, all these special begodim of the Kohen Gadol, he couldn't wear them because they were zav and kategor nasa senegar. So once he was already not dressing as a Kohen Gadol, so he dressed like a Kohen Hedit. But there's only two uniforms. There's a uniform of a Kohen Gadol, there's a uniform of a Kohen Hedit. And since he can't wear the uniform of a Kohen Gadol, because ain't kategor nasa senegar, so he wore the uniform of a Kohen Hedyot. And a Kohen Hedyot has the Kohen Hedyot wears the begodim of Pishton. So maybe the Avnet also changed. So it should be like the begodim of a Kohen Hedyot. That would be simple. The problem is not so simple, because it's really a machlokes in the Gemara, what was the Avnet of a Kohen Hedyot. The Torah never specifies, in Parshas Truma or Vayakel, never specifies what the avnet of a Kohen Hedyot was made out of. The Torah says what the avnet of a Kohen Gadol was made out of the whole year round. Chelis Hagomen of Slashoni, Meshesh Moso. The Torah specifies what the avnet of a Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur was made out of. The avnet bad yachar, pure linen. The Kohen Gadol, the Torah gives me all the details. The avnet, the whole year round, was shatnes, klayim. The avnet of Yom Kippur was pure linen. The avnet of a Kohen Gadol, we don't have a Kohen Hedyot the whole year round, it doesn't say. The Machlokes Tanoim, Rebbe and Reb Dosa in Maseches Yuma, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis. Rebbe Shita is that the avnet of a Kohen Gadol, of a Kohen Hedyot, was like the avnet of a Kohen Gadol the whole year round, it was Shabbos. Reb Dosa Shita is that the avnet of a Kohen Hedyot was pure linen, like the avnet of a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So the fee Rabbi Deisa, it works out. Rabbi Deisa holds that a kohen hegid wore an abnet of pure linen. So a kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, when he wore pure linen begadim, he looked just like a kohen hegid. So then we could take a say. He took off the begadim of a kohen gadol. And since he couldn't wear the begadim of a kohen gadol, because en katega nasas an egar, so he went down to the begadim of a kohen hegid. So he changed the abnet too, because if you're not dressing like a kohen gadol, he has to dress like a kohen hegid. L'fi Rabbi Yosi is good. But what about L'fi Rebbe? Rebbe holds that the abnet of a kohen hegid was also shanis. So with the kohen gadol Yom Kippur, when he took off the abnet of shanis and he put on an abnet of linen, that was not like a kohen hegid. It wasn't like any abnet. It was an abnet only for Yom Kippur. So what's the pshat? Some people in Kippur, people wear white yarmulkes. Maybe it's like a white yarmulke. But our kaponim, the Gemara says, "Kazein katei nasas today." What does that do with the abnet? The kitzur, lefir of place is good, but lefir Rebbe, why did he wear an abnet? Why did he wear an abnet of linen? Is a Yerushalmi in Yuma, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. Yerushalmi says three reasons why a kohen gadol, when he went with Nayib with him, wore big day lava. Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Simon said, because of Al Tishader Lifnei Melech. Go in front of the king, you shouldn't wear your begadim mevudarim. You should wear Al Tishader Lifnei Melech. You don't show your rank, your godless, when you go in front of the Melech. Rabbi Levi says, I'm sorry, that's Rabbi Simon. I skipped one. The first Yerushalmi says, without any name, make gaiva. If you wear big day lovin, as gaiva. So it shouldn't be mizgoya. Rav Simon said, because Al Tisadim with me melech. Rav Levi said, because enkatega nasa sanega. Rav Levi is like Rav Chisda Nagama. There's three opinions. Make gaiva. Rav Simon said, because Al Tisadim with me melech. And Rav Levi, like Rav Chisda Nagama, says, enkatega nasa. There's an interesting Meshechachma in Achimais says that what's the Machlekes Tolian? It says it's Tolian the Machlekes Rebbe and Rav Doisa in the Gemara Yuma that I told you before. When the Kohen Gadol wore his big day lovan on Yom Kippur, did he look like a Kohen Hedyot? Or did he still look like a Kohen Gadol? According to Rav Doisa, he looked like a Kohen Hedyot. He wore pure linen begadim. That's what a kohen hegid wears, pure linen begadim, from head to toe. So that's like a gaiva. I mean, the gaiva, after Sadeh, the Fnei Melech, those two reasons, the Meshach Chokhma sort of conflates them. So he dressed down. So he dressed like a kohen hegid. The gaiva, or because after Sadeh, the Fnei Melech, again, Meshach Chokhma seems to treat them as interchangeable. So then it makes sense. But if you hold like a Rebbe, he didn't look like a kohen hegid. Kohen hegid were an abnet of shatness. Were an abnet of shatness the whole year round. When the kohen gadol wore big day lavan, he did not look like a kohen hegid at all. He was very different than a kohen hegid. He looked like a kohen gadol in pure white begadim. So that's not in the gaiva, and it's not because altis had it with melech. So what is it? Must be because en katega nasa sanem. That comes from the Meshech Chochma. Very intriguing Meshech Chochma. For Arab purposes, it doesn't help us at all. But at the end of the day, it still comes out that according to Rebbe, why did he change his begadim not to look like a kohen hegid? He didn't look like a kohen hegid. He changed his begadim because en katega nasa sanega. So we still have the shagas hayis kasha. It doesn't explain the abnet. The truth is that I was altogether bothered. The Meshech Chochma doesn't explain what's the difference between the first two reasons, Me'a Gaiva or because after Tadu Vefei Melech. It sounds like the same thing, especially when the Meshech Chochma explains. He dressed like a kohen hegid because a Gaiva after Tadu Vefei Melech. So isn't that two ways of saying the same thing? But in Yishami, it's three days. One Ma'an Domer is Me'a Gaiva, one Ma'an Domer is because after Tadu Vefei Melech, and the third Ma'an Domer is because Ein Kategan Asa Zanegi. The Meshech Chochma explains the difference between the reason number one and two together and reason number three. But what's the difference between reason number one and reason number two? I thought in Shir Mesukim, we learned Sukkim Yeshiva, I had the whole Arichas about this, but I'm not going to burden you with the whole Arichas, but the Kitzur, I thought that the difference between the first two reasons, Mitnei Agaiva versus Al Tzad of Nei Melech, that's totally the Machlekes Rebbe and Rav Dais. And there's saying two different things. Nei Agaiva means the Kohen Gadol, normally his begotten were beautiful, they were overwhelming. The Chavad, Torah calls them the Chavad Ultifaris. On Yom Kippur, we were simpler begotten. That's Gaiva. That's the Nei Agaiva. On Kippur, he should show he's going with Naival of Nim into the presence of Kiviyochel Alein. He's going to Lefnaibel of Nim. He should dress in a way that shows humility. So he didn't wear his begotten of Kovid and Tefaris, the striking, beautiful begotten. He wore begotten that were as plain as possible. That's Nei Agaiva. Al Tzadiv of Nei Melech means something else. It means that the Kohen Gadol, when he went with Naival of Nim, didn't wear the begotten that showed his rank. The begotten of Kohen Gadol showed that he's a Kohen Gadol. When you go in front of that's normally the Kohen Gadol. He's the Kohen Gadol. He's entitled to wear begotten that befit his rank and show his rank. But when you go with Naival of Nim, you go in front of the Melech Malchei Melochim, you take off the begotten that show your rank. You go in like an ordinary Kohen. That's Al Tzadiv B'fnei Melech. B'fnei Melech, all rank disappears. All other rank disappears. The difference between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the general is the same as between the Kohen Gadol and the Kodesh Baruch Hu and the private. It's all meaningless. So that's Al Tzadiv B'fnei Melech. That only makes sense if what the Kohen Gadol wore in Yom Kippur were the begotten of a Kohen Hedit. So then Taka was not showing his rank. But if the begotten of a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur, the big day lover, were not the same as the begotten of a Kohen Hedit, then he was still showing his rank. So then Al Tzadiv B'fnei Melech doesn't make any sense. That's the difference between these two mandomer. The mandomer of Mipnei Agaiva held that the begotten of the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, the big day lover, they were not begotten of a Kohen Hedit. He still wore begotten that were special only for a Kohen Gadol. So Al Tzadiv B'fnei Melech did not enter into it. But they were simple. They weren't lechavod ul'tefaras. So that's big day lovin. Big day lovin are not lechavod ul'tefaras. That's from Nei Agaiva. The other mandomer who said that it was because of Al Tzadiv B'fnei Melech, he thought he held like Rav Dosa, that the begotten of a Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, the big day lovin were like the begotten of a Kohen Hedit. That's because he was wearing begotten. He took off his begotten of rank and he put on the begotten of a private. He put on the begotten of a Kohen Hedit. So that's out the side of the Fnei, out the side of the Melech. That's Tim's with the place. Then I added, if you look in the Gemara Yuma over there in Daf Yud Beis, Rav Dosa says a chiddush that after Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, the leftover big day lovin that the Kohen Gadol used on Yom Kippur, he could hand them down to a Kohen Hedit. And they were mutter for a Kohen Hedit to wear. They couldn't be used again next Yom Kippur. That was a different halacha, but he could give them over to a Kohen Hedit. But the Gemara says that Rebbe asked Rav Dosa, "Ma'alim b'kodesh ve'im meridim? How can you take a big day kohen gadol and give them to a kohen hedit?" And the Gemara doesn't say what Rav Dosa would respond to that. But I thought, see what I'm saying, it's very geshmak. Rav Dosa held that the begodim that the kohen gadol wore in Yom Kippur were not big day kohen gadol; they were big day kohen hedit. That was the point. Al Tzadiv B'fnei Melech, not the word big day kohen gadol. So Mele, to give them Kohen Hedit is not a Yerod B'Kedusha, because the Kohen Gadol wore them dafka because on Yom Kippur he wore the Kohen Hedit. And that's mamish the point. Rebbe can't hold that way, because Rebbe holds the Shittosai that a Kohen Hedit wore an Abnate of Klayim. So the Begonim the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur were not the Begonim of a Kohen Hedit. They were Bigde Kohen Gadol. They were Bigde Kohen Gadol that were simpler than usual, but they were Bigde Kohen Gadol. So now you're going to give them over to a Kohen Hedit. It's altogether not reusable. But even the other begotten that did look like the begotten of a Kohen Hedit, but they were not. They were B'tayr's big day Kohen Gadol. So that's Ma'ala B'Kodesh. It stems very well with the Gemara over there. If that's the case, if we're on the right track, so then I would say that, then I could say like this, that L'Olam Rav Chisda, Rav Levi and Nishami, Rav Chisda said, Ein Katerga Nasa Sanegar. So he took off all the Zog because Ein Katerga Nasa Sanegar. So we had a problem. Shagasaya raised a problem. But that doesn't explain the Avnate. How can we change the Avnate? The answer is that in a Chedami, Rav Levi and Rav Chisda are going to have to go like Rav Dosa, that the avnet of a kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, the lovan, the avnet of big day lovan, was the same as a kohen hedit. And he changed the avnet because, like I said at the outset, if you're not wearing big day kohen gadol, you wear big day kohen. He can't wear big day kohen gadol because ain't katei nasa seneg. So if he's not wearing big day kohen gadol, then he wore big day kohen hedit because it's other, one or the other. So he wore the begadim of a kohen hedit. So that means big day lovan. So he changed the avnet too. That's what I said at the very beginning, that that's the answer to the Shagas Ayis Kasha. But at the time I asked, but that doesn't, what about according to Rebbe? According to Rebbe, the Avnet of a Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur was not the same as the Avnet of a Kohen Hedit. So according to Rebbe, why did he change the Avnet? The answer is because in Echadami, it's 3 days in Yerushalmi, and it's totally already in the Machlekes Rebbe and Rav Dosa. Rebbe will say, like the other reason in Yerushalmi, he goes, Me'a Gaiva. It was Rebbe who says that he wore big an Avnet of Lovan, which is not like the Avnet of a Kohen Hedit. He'll pack a hole that it's not because of Altasad of Femelech, like I said. And it's not because of Enkatega Nasa Sameh, because that wouldn't explain the Avnet. It's because of Gaiva. And Gaiva was not Lekovod Tefaris. The Avnet of Shatness was Kovod Tefaris. With colored wool, it was beautiful. That's Lekovod Tefaris. The Pnei Gaiva, Rebbe said, you take it off. That's that reason, the first reason in the Yerushalmi. And that package stems with Rebbe. The other two reasons in the Yerushalmi, they go like a place. That with the Kohen Gadol war in Yom Kippur was the Begonim of a Kohen Hedit. Like a place of holes. Why do you wear Begonim of a Kohen Hedit? So here we have the last two reasons. Either Altas Hadif Tei Melech. The Dafka, when you're going into the Melech Malchi Amlochim, you go to the commander-in-chief. So the general dresses like a private, because in front of the commander-in-chief, everybody's a private. So he took off his big Dekoin Godel and he wore big Dekoin Hadid. And Rav Levi and Rav Chisdas, they another reason. Because Enkatega Nasas Neger, he couldn't wear gold. So Meili had to, he couldn't wear the big Dekoin Godel. And if he can't wear the big Dekoin Godel, he wore the big Dekoin Hadid. So Meili, the Avnet also changed because he was wearing big Dekoin Hadid. Okay, anyway, that's a little bit of an excursus, a little bit of an aside. Yeah, let's go back to the Enkatega Nasa Seneda. The reason why the Kohen Gadol failed thing, we didn't wear big dezov, because Enkatega Nasa Seneda. Over step by step, the Gemara, how the Gemara goes through this. So the Gemara says, "Ein katega nasa senega." Ula says the reason why the shofar was not why a shofar shofar was no good is because "Ein katega nasa senega." Like Rav Chisda said, but why does the Kohen Gadol not wear big dezov on Yom Kippur? Because "Ein katega nasa senega." So I think we're asked a series of questions. The Gemara asked from Dam, so Yishtani. Okay, that will leave alone. Then the Yishani, the Gemara asked from the Ard and the Kapayos. They were gold and they were in the Kodesh Kadosh. So the Gemara answers, Chayte Bal Yaakov. Bal Yaakov. There's Rashi. The Aron stood there. So that was okay. It was made out of gold in a manner. But when the Kohen Gadol walked in with his begodim, so he was being Makiv Zov, and he was Makiv Zov. And that's not right. Chayte Bal Yaakov. Says Rashi, Ha'odom Lo Yaakovenu Haloim. Shouldn't be makiv the zov halim. Halim is a very fancy word. Halim, like artikel halim, like basneh. It's right away. This Rashi is a sort of a flag. It's not darkish Rashi to talk in poetic language. It's not like Chacham Avadi. All his tshuvas are written in poetry. Rashi writes plain Hebrew. Yaakov halim. It's a funny lesson. We'll talk about it in a minute. But our kaponim, Rashi is chayti bal Yaakov. You shouldn't be makiv zov halayim because the other was chayti with zov. So that's chayti bal Yaakov. Then they were asked, what about kafu machta? There you're also being makiv at halayim. The other is being makiv, the kafu machta halayim. So why are you allowed, how are you allowed to do it? It's made out of gold. So the Gemara says, different story. Chayti bal yisnoeh. Kafu machta is not to be misnoeh. You're not adorning yourself in the kafu machta. You're not wearing it. But the begadim, he's adorning himself in the begadim. So chayti bal yisnoeh. That's where he asks, so what about the shofar? But then they would say, what about the begadim b'chutz? The Gemara says, it's only b'fnim. Only b'fnim. Halayim is b'fnim. Then the Gemara said, what about shofar? Shofar is not b'fnim. The Gemara says, kevan d'lizikar nasi ki l'fnim don. A couple of hours here in Pshat. First of all, okay, so the shofar is the zikaron, it's like lifnim. That I understand. The shofar brings the zikaron in front of the Rebbeinu Shlom, it's like lifnim. But where's the misnoy? It says chayti b'agistoy. Before, otherwise kaf machta is also lifnim. So he said, no, but lisnoy, chayti b'agistoy, chayti b'agistoy. By the shofar, he's not wearing the kol shofar. So where's the chayti b'agistoy? You explained how it's b'fnim, but you didn't explain where's the chayti b'agistoy. So it seems to be a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says, "Haven was a kohen kosik lifnim bami." Look, Rashi, shayfa nami. I forgot the less they mishum chayti b'aliyake. The less they mishum chayti b'aliyistoy. In the chalami, the shayfa is not chayti b'aliyake. You're not bringing the shayfa in. The kol shayfa goes up, but you're not bringing the shayfa in, and you're not being mistoyah. It's not chayti b'aliyistoy. You're not wearing the shayfa. Haven is a kohen kosik. Can be the kohen gadol kishalif nimdami. So Rashi seems to be saying lizikaron. Not only does it make it tantamount to lifnim. It does. It substitutes for lifnim. It substitutes for chayte b'yisnoy too. Lizikaron is as it makes it equal to equivalent to as much sensitive to kain enkatega nasas neger as chayte as being misnoy. The Lizikaron, which the Gemara says it and the face of the Gemara says Lizikaron asks you to explain the Shaykh's Nachbachutz, how do you have Enkatega Nasasanega? So he said, Lizikaron is like Lufnim. So Rashi Lukhara is saying, not only is Zikaron like Lufnim, it's like Big Dekhan Godul Lufnim. It's like Chayte Bal Yisnoi Lufnim. So it's not Lisnoi. The Shaykh is not Lisnoi. But the Lizikaron is a substitute for Lisnoi. That's Rashi, whatever that means. Tesis, look at Tesis says chayti bal yisnoi. So Tesis, the gabi shayfer misnoi nami bekol tkiyosa. Shayfer is also less nice. He's misnoi in the kol. The tekeya is misnoi in the kol. He adorns himself in the kol. That's what that means. Even how? What does that mean? You adorn yourself in the kol. I think it means since the kol is mechaper, so it's like the kol is adorns you because it's mechaper on you, so it makes you it's like it's an adornment, something which makes me holy, it makes me pure, that adorns me. So there's a chayti bal yisnoi. It's not like Rashi. Rashi says the lizikaron is a substitute for chayti bal yisnoi. Taisus says the kol tkiyah. That's the only thing about zikaron in Taisus. The Zikar just explains the Lufnim, but where's the Chayte Bal Yisnoi? That's a different word. He's Misnoi Bekolt Kiyosa. But that's Bavar Echol. There seems to be a difference between Rashi and Tosfos. Where's the Chayte Bal Yisnoi by Shef? Rashi says, the Zikaron explains that too. The Zikaron is tantamount, makes it as good as Lufnim, and it's as good as Bal Yisnoi, or as bad as. And Tosfos is a different word. He's misnoy b'kolt kiyosa. So that's one shimei I see between Rashi and Tosfos. And I think there's another shimei between Rashi and Tosfos. In Pirev and Emes Dan, the Gemara said two swords, chayte bal Yaakov and chayte bal Yisrael. First it said chayte bal Yaakov to explain Oren b'kaparis, to answer the kashim Oren b'kaparis. Why is it different than Oren b'kaparis? Chayte bal Yaakov. Then we ask, what about kafu machto? So it said another chiluk, chayte bal yisnoi. So the Rebbe is down, after it says chayte, after I have the svar of chayte bal yisnoi, do I still need the svar of chayte bal Yaakov? It's the Torah Rebbe, no. Because the Teretz, we only said chayte bal Yaakov to answer the question from Oren v'Kaperes. But then we had a question from, we still had a problem with Kafu Machto. So we said chayte bal yisnoi. So the Rebbe, once I say chayte bal yisnoi, that takes care of Oren v'Kaperes too. Because the Oren v'Kaperes are also not with his noise. So I no longer need the Svar of Chayte Bal Yaakov. That's what Shagas says in Svar L'Chayte. And Cheshbon is right. Cheshbon is right. The Gemara only said Chayte Bal Yaakov to answer Oren v'Kaperes. But now that I have this new Svar of Chayte Bal Yisnoi, that answers Oren v'Kaperes also. It answers Kafu Machta because they're not the Godin that you're misnoying. And it answers Oren v'Kaperes. So I no longer need the Svar of Chayte Bal Yaakov. So the Tzadik Zayin says he thinks that's the emes. Once we have the svar of Chayte Bal Yisnael, we can jettison Chayte Bal Yaakov. The Rebbe himself points out that the Chayte Rashi not mashma that way. Because when Rashi talks about Shofar, that Shofar is Lissikorin Skilifnim, so Rashi said, we read the Rashi, Shofar Nami Afagav, the less be Mishum Chayte Bal Yaakov, the less be Mishum Chayte Bal Yisnael, but Sikorin is a substitute. So it sounds like in Rashi, these two things are still both in play. Chayte Bal Yaakov and Chayte Bal Yisnael. Sounds like we're still working with Chayte Bal Yaakov. There's Chayte Bal Yaakov, that's a condition of Ein Kateger and Asseneger, and there's Chayte Bal Yisnael. Shofar doesn't seem to meet either condition, but the Zikaron is a substitute. So it sounds, says the Shagazai, it sounds like Rashi thinks that Chayte Bal Yaakov is still in play. So the Shagazai says he thinks it's not Mukhuch. He thinks it's the Dirk and Rashi, not Mukhuch. Rashi means to say that Rashi just means Shofar has none of the things we talked about before. It doesn't have Bal Yaakov, and it doesn't have Bal Yisnor, but it's Lizikon is a substitute for everything. Rashi doesn't mean to say that we really need the Svar of Chayte Bal Yisnor, that Chayte Bal Yaakov. Rashi does not mean that Chayte Bal Yisnor is somehow built on top of Chayte Bal Yaakov. It's one or the other. First thing about thought Chayte Bal Yaakov, then that wasn't sufficient, so we substituted a different sort, Chayte Bal Yisnor. And now Rashi's saying, and you should know that Shofar has none of those things. But it's Lizikar. But the truth is, I think that Rashi's Madhuyah is not like the Turi Evan. Because it's not only this Rashi. This Rashi and Turi Evan explained the way. Okay, fine. But I think Rashi before is also Madhuyah, not like the Turi Evan. And let's look again at the Lashonis of Rashi before. Chayte Bal Yaakov, Rashi said, this fancy lesson. Ha'odam lo yakirenu ha'loim shul chotobay. Then when it says Chayte Bal Yisnor, says Rashi, Chayte Bal Yisnor li hiskashet boi bekorvoi haloim. What's it, bekorvoi haloim? Chayte Bal Yisnor li hiskashet boi. What's this, bekorvoi haloim? Islam is the same lesson that he said before by Chayte Bal Yaakov. Ha'odam lakirenu haloim shul chotobay. Now Rashi, Chayte Bal Yisnor li hiskashet boi bekorvoi haloim. A lot of the mashmois in Rashi is that Chayte Bal Yisnor is built on top of Chayte Bal Yaakov. Chayte Bal Yaakov is lo yakuvenu haloim. Don't bring zohav haloim into the kodesh kadosh. And it's the notion of haloim. And then Rashi said, but then we said, what about kafu machto? You're bringing it haloim zohav. You're bringing it haloim. So Rashi says, no. We're saying when we say Chayte Bal Yaakov, we need to say more. It's not just Chayte Bal Yaakov. Don't bring zohav. Don't be makiv zohav haloim. It's that when you are nikrav haloim, don't be misnoyin zohav. But it's still building on the nikrav haloim. It's the Chayte Bal Yaakov. It's the Chayte is being miskarev haloim. And when you're miskarev haloim, you shouldn't be misnoyed with the chet. It's on top of the Bal Yaakov. Except Bal Yaakov doesn't mean like the kapo machta. You bring zohav in, but you're not wearing it. The Bal Yaakov is with the Bal Yisnor. When you are Korev Haloim, you should not be misnoyed with the Zohar. It's Madhuyah and Rashi that the Chayte Bal Yisnor needs to piggyback on top of Chayte Bal Yaakov. Bal Yaakov, Bekorvei Haloim. Yeah, and what's this lashon, Bekorvei Haloim? I said before, it's such a fancy lashon. In the back of my mind, side these, if you do you come in Rashi, what's this fancy lashon of Haloim? I mean, I'll already start off. I think part of the reason why Rashi says this fancy lashon of haloim is because Rashi needs a lashon that should be indeterminate in bechutz and befnim. Because the Gemara thinks in the Havamina that even bechutz should be an issue. So the Gemara answers, no, it's only befnim. So Rashi doesn't want to use the lashon of bekarvei befnim. Because the Gemara is going to ask about bechutz. The Gemara doesn't know yet befnim. But on the other hand, since Rashi holds that we're still going with chayte bal yakriv, the issue is being nikrav. Now we still know it's Bal Yaakov, or now it's the Korvoi. So we need, it does, even the Gemara is having it that we didn't know it's Lefnai V'Lefnin, but we knew that it's when you're coming, at least to the Azara. We didn't think that it's, that the Ein Kateger Nasas Neger is if you're standing in Tel Aviv. Ein Kateger Nasas Neger, the Gemara even now knows that it's only, because I think actually Shetosik, that we're still going with Chayte Bal Yaakov. We're talking about being Nikrav. We just don't know that it's to be Nikrav all the way to the Kodesh Kadosh. We think even to the Azar it's called being Nikrav. That's why the Gemara is still going to ask about the Big Dezog. And the Gemara answers, no, that's Bachutz. We're talking about Mamish, the Kodesh Kadosh. So Rashi wants a lashon that should still be a lashon of bikarvay alay, bikarvay of being nikrav, because that's central to the definition of enkategen asenegar, that it's bal yakiv or bal yikarev. But it shouldn't give away the game that we're talking about the five lufnim, because then what's the Gemara still has left to ask about the big day zav and the azar. So Rashi uses a lashon that's indeterminate. Bikarvay halayim. Halayim means to a makom kaddish. What degree of makom kaddish? We don't know yet exactly. It might still be the azar. In the end, we're going to say that it's the kaddish hakadosh. I think that's part of the answer why Rashi uses the lashon of halayim. What does Rashi want with halayim? Halayim is a lashon that denotes a makom kaddish, but is not yet, doesn't give away the game that we're talking about the kaddish kadosh. But akapanim, I see here a shinoi. Rashi, so we have several deal. First of all, we have machlekes Rashi and Tosfos Tachayev. First, which is Zikaron, does that obviate the conditions of Bal Yaakov and Bal Yisnor and Bal Yaakov? Rashi says, yeah, by Shofar, it's not Bal Yaakov and it's not Bal Yisnor, but the Zikaron is a substitute for everything. Tosfos is a different story. He says, no, you still need Bal Yisnor, but the Kol Shofar, you're Yisnor with the Kol Shofar. And Bal Yaakov, Tosfos doesn't even talk about. Maybe Tosfos, you don't need Bal Yaakov. Like with Shai. And then number two, this issue that it's Mubik and Rashi, that even after Bal Yisnor, you still need Bal Yaakov. The second thesis, he doesn't understand why. Once you say Bal Yisnor, you don't need Bal Yaakov. Bal Yaakov was only introduced to end to the Aron B'Kapleres. But now you're telling me Bal Yisnor takes off the Aron, takes off Kafum, the question from Kafum after, and it takes off the question from Aron B'Kapleres too. So we can jettison the condition of Bal Yisnor. Let's just go with Bal Yaakov. But in Rashi and Meduyik, let's just go with Bal Yisnor. But in Rashi and Meduyik, that Bal Yisnor means, not Stam Bal Yisnor, Bekarvei Haloyim, you shouldn't be Misnor. It's still building on top of the idea of Bal Yaakov. When you're Karev Haloyim, you shouldn't be Misnor. So what's going on over here? I think what's going on over here is that it's a machlekes here between Rashi and Tosfos in the whole Havan of Enkategen and Asasenega. What's the issue? We know Enkategen and Asasenega is only Bifnim, it's not Bachutz. Why? What's the difference between Bachutz? And the Gemara is going to say it's only Bifnim, only the Kodesh Kadosh. Bachutz does not Enkategen and Asasenega. Why? Chet is Chet. What's the difference between Bifnim and Bachutz? I think it's metallic between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learned that the word of Enkategen and Asasenega is that when you're Korev Haloim, when you're going into the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so then you have to we have a concept Hichoin L'Kras L'Kecha Yisrael, like the Gemara in Brachah says, when you daven, you have to dress up to daven. You have to make sure your begodim are neat, are clean, are bakovedik. There's all kinds of halachas of Gemara and Shabbos and Davut. Now I said brachas and Gemara and Shabbos Davut. Hikun nukas alekechel yisrael. That when you go to daven, you have to. About one of the Maroyim, he would put on his cloak, his special cloak. There's more, you know, like he would put on his jacket to daven because hikun nukas alekechel yisrael. That's the Indian, by the way, to put on a jacket for daven, because of hikun nukas alekechel yisrael. You dress up to daven because you're going in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Rashi learns, Enkategen Asenega means when you're going in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's not appropriate to wear things that are a reminder of a chet. It's not appropriate when you're going in front of the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and you have to prepare yourself. You have to dress in a way that shows your cognizance of the fact that you're going in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you put on begodim that show chet. So that's a steer to Hikon Lekas Lekach. That's how you go in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wear the thing that's a reminder of what you did wrong towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it lacks in the. And that's why it's only Bifnim. Bechutz is not a problem. I'm not going in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there's no problem with Etzim and wearing Zov. You're going in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You have to dress special. You have to be Mishnah. You're being Mishnah to go in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're dressing up to go in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You're dressing up with Zov. That means you really don't understand what it is. There's something missing in your understanding. That's why you can't. Rashi learns even after that. That's the idea of Chayte Bal Yaakov. Chayte Bal Yaakov means you're going in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam with a Zoh. That's the problem. Chayte Bal Yaakov is the carbon. We don't know yet that it's only in the even though at the beginning when it said Chayte Bal Yaakov, we don't know yet that it's only in the Kodesh Kedoshim. We still think it might be in the Azara. But it's still when you're coming in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's the carbon haloim. When you're carbon haloim, humping himself, because it's not appropriate to be carved alive. You're going towards into the Rebbeinu Shlom's presence, and you're bringing himself. The Aaron, the Kapharis, is standing there. That's not your problem. But you're going into the Kodin. You're going, you're being Karev Halayim. It's not right to be, it's not right to bring in Zof. That's Bekarev Halayim. That's Chayte Bal Yaakov. That's the Aleph base. The Aleph base of Enkatega Nasanega is Chayte Bal Yaakov. And the Emes is, I think that's why also Rashi used the Lashon of Bekarev Halayim. It's not only, like I said before, because it's a good Lashon, it's indeterminate, it doesn't give away the game. You know, it shouldn't give away the answers at the back of the book that it's only the Kodesh Kadoshim. We don't know yet. Right now, it might still be the Azara, but we need to still convey the idea of Bar Yaakov. So Rashi uses an indeterminate Lashon of Bekarev Halayim. I think it's more than that. Rashi uses Lashon of Bekarev Halayim because that Lashon of Halayim comes from somewhere. Where does that Lashon come from? Bekarev Halayim. Mentioned by the Sneh. Al Tikrav Halayim. Shal Nalecha Mi'al Reglecha. That's Mamash, the idea that Rashi wants to convey. That's why Rashi uses that Lashon. It's redolent of. You're going, I'll think of Halayim, take off your shoes. You're going in front, you're going into a Makom Kaddish. You have to prepare yourself. Don't wear your shoes that are full of dust and dirt and the way you walk around all over in the streets and in the blotter. You have to take off your shoes before you carve Halayim. That's part of the Ikin L'Kas L'Kech. So the same thing, Zov, you carve Halayim, you're coming in front of the Rebbeinu Shlom's presence, you're bringing in Zov. That's Enka Teganasana. And that the Gemara is, what about Kafu Machto? You brought the Kafu Macht in. So Gemara says Chayt Bal Yisro. So Rashi says Chayt Bal Yisro is not a new reason. Chayt Bal Yisro. Stam, you can't wear Zov. When you're in the when you're home, you can wear Zov. It'll be to be Misnoy. It means the Hisnoy that you do Bekarvei Halayim when you're Misnoy for the sake of Hikar Nukas Lekech Yisrael. You're not Stam being Misnoy. You're Misnoy to go in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's the Hisnoy that we're talking about. If there was Stam be a din of Chayt Bal Yisro that had nothing to do with going in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom, then even at home you wouldn't be able to wear adornments of gold. The answer is, we're not talking about being misnoy stam. We're talking about being misnoy b'karvei halayim. We're talking about the misnoy that you do in order to approach the Rebbeinu Shalom. So you dress up to approach the Rebbeinu Shalom, not with gold. Bringing kafu machta, that's not what you're being misnoy, but what you're being misnoy b'karvei halayim. That already has a din of chaymer of enkateg and asasanei. And the message, what about shayfer? So then what about big dissolve b'chutz? What does it mean b'fnim kamin? The karvei halayim, is only this fate about the Korvei Elohim is only in the Kodesh Kadosh, and not even in the other. Like, what about Shofar? So Mar says, Shofar is Lizikarin, Lufnim. So Rashi says, one second, it's going Lizikarin with Nim, but it's not Lishnoah, and it's not Bal Yaakov. I'm not going in. The Kol Shofar is going in. I'm not going in, and it's not Lishnoah. So why, where did that go? So why is it called Enkatega Nasasanega? So Rashi says, Lizikarin is the equivalent. Since it's Lizikarin, couldn't have a zecher of chet, suvi apara, even though there's no Bal Yaakov and there's no Bal Yisnor, but Lizikoin is a substitute for everything. The Havana is, again, just like, I think this, with this we can understand it, just like when I go in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom and I prepare myself to be roy, to stand in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom, it's not right that it should be with a miskeres over. So when I send the kol shofar before the Rebbeinu Shalom to be maskir me, the pocket kol ruach vanofesh, and the kol shofar is going in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom to be masking my ma'isim and my tshuva and so on. So that also shouldn't have in it a miskeres olam, because just like when I go in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom and I'm making myself to go in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom, if I do it in a way that's masking the chet, it shows I don't understand what it is to go in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So when I send in the kol shofar to be masking me in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom, and the kol shofar itself sounds like a shofar shel bara, so that itself that's just as bad. Because it has in it this principle that I'm going to the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm preparing myself for the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom, or I'm sending in the kol shofar to represent me in the presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom, and in that matzav, it's not right to introduce into that, into my approach to the Rebbeinu Shalom, or my the kol shofar that's approaching the Rebbeinu Shalom on my behalf, shouldn't have in it anything that's maskechet, and ketegen asasanei. That's Papa Rashi. I think Taisus is different mahalach. Even though there's not that much to build on a Taisus, we just have this that one little tiny Taisus. But I think that a Taisus is a different word. The Taisus understood. Taisus doesn't say this. Taisus, it sounds like from Taisus. Taisus doesn't have this notion that Zikaron is substitute for everything. Taisus holds you need Bal Yisnoi, and the Shofar is not. Where's the Kol Shofar in Misnoi? Where's the Bal Yisnoi? So Taisus is a different svar. I'm Misnoi b'Kol Tkiyosa. I adorn myself with the Kol Tkiyosa. What is that? What's wrong with Rashi? Rashi sounds actually pretty good. it's pretty intuitive, the Rashi. If when I go in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom, I shouldn't dress myself up in a way that's masking my avinus. So when I send the Kol Shofar to be masking me, my merit in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom, to be Merakash Rachamim on my behalf in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom, so it certainly shouldn't be masking my avinus. Sounds very good. What's not to understand? What does this need? It's a different story. We need Bal Yisnoya, and by the Shofar, you'll be Yisnoya b'Kol Tkiyos. And Taisa doesn't mention anything about Bar Yaakov. I don't know if that's a diuk or not. Taisa doesn't mention anything about Bar Yaakov. It's a little bit of maskma that Taisa holds, like the Piri Evan, that we don't need Bar. We're not going anymore with Bar Yaakov. Bar Yaakov was abortive. Once we said Bar Yisno, we only go with Bar Yisno. And so therefore, Taisa only has to deal with Bar Yisno. Where's the Bar Yisno by Shaifa? So he says, if it's a new svar, Yisno be called Kiyosu. I think the pshat is that Taisa talk at a different avon. That according to Tosis, ain't katega nasis an ego, which the Gemara says is only chayta by Yisnoya. Then the ideal, according to Rashi, we said that by Yisnoya means I'm being misnoya to approach the Rebbeinu Shel. I'm being misnoya to be karav halon. Like I said, hikam kasel kach yisro. I'm adorning myself to go in front of the Rebbeinu Shel. I shouldn't adorn myself to go in front of the Rebbeinu Shel with something that reminds the Rebbeinu Shel what I did wrong. I mean, in Tosis, it's entirely different. But chayta by Yisnoya. Taisa's hold means that if you adorn yourself, doesn't matter where you are, if you adorn yourself with something that is a kategor, it's a reminder of chet. So then the adornment itself becomes disgusting. Because it's like there's a pasuk, Nezim Zohov Be'af Chazir. A pig that wears jewelry. A pig that wears jewelry, it doesn't, it's not that, it looks good, but not as good as when a woman wears jewelry. It looks gross, because a pig wearing jewelry is a degradation. The cure, the having it, to be mekashet the pig, is a degradation. So you're being misnoy, you want to adorn yourself. With big godum, the kind godum is adorning himself with the godum of covenant tefaras. He's adorning himself with his big dekunim. The big dekunim themselves are, if they're going to have zov in them, zov is chet. That means he's adorning himself with something that's the opposite of an adornment. That itself is a dovah mechur. Why do we zov stam? We don't look at it with such close scrutiny. You wear zov stam, it's nothing. But you wear zov as an adornment. That's not an adornment, because you're adorning yourself with something that really, from a, you know, if you really want to, that's beautiful by you. Zov is beautiful by you. Zov is tchad egel, and that's beautiful. That's enka tega nasa zanegel. It's nothing to do with hikam lukasa lekech l'Yisrael. We're not going with chayte bal Yaakov. We left behind chayte bal Yaakov. It's a new svar, chayte bal Yisrael. It's a chayte, you should not be, a chayte does not adorn himself. Maybe it shows lack of sensitivity to the chaymer of his chet. If a chayte adorns himself with jewelry that could remind somebody of the chet, if he's not trying to adorn himself, he doesn't have to go through life not wearing gold. But when he wants to make himself beautiful, and he makes himself beautiful with something that could remind somebody of the chet, that means that's disgusting. It means that adornment is that adornment is the opposite of an adornment. It's ugly. Back to Gemara, but what about Bechutz? So why not Bechutz? Then that intrinsically could be anywhere. That's not limited to Lefnai v'Lefnim. That could be even Bechutz. And Bechutz, maybe even at home. Maybe you shouldn't wear it. And so why is it limited to why is it limited to Bifnim? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says Bifnim come in. What's the answer Bifnim? The way I'm being masked with Tosis. What does it matter that it's Bifnim? If it's nothing to do with Chikun HaKras HaLekech Yisrael, so why is it only Bifnim and not Bechutz? So I think, according to Tosis, the Nekuda Bifnim is not, I'm going in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Nekuda Bifnim is, Bifnim is love, Bifnim is a reminder of Chet. Zov Bechutz is not a reminder of Chet. Like Svivam Nisra Moed, outside of Bifnim, we don't look at everything with such a close measure, a precise measure. Zov b'chutz is not a misgaret. It's not a reminder of chet. It's nothing. Zov b'fnim, everything is examined closely. Everything's with a strict midas adin b'fnim. B'fnim the zov is a miskeres chet, is a miskeres oven. And a miskeres oven, you shouldn't be mistoy. So outside of the kodesh kadoshim, when you're b'chutz, the zov is not a miskeres oven. So you can be mistoy in it. But b'fnim is a miskeres oven, and it's disgusting to be mistoy with the miskeres oven. The Pesach says, so what about, Shofar doesn't have that. By Shofar, you're not being mistaken. Now, who cares if the Shofar is gone with Zikar? According to Rashi, the Nekuda, the whole idea of Ein Chetega Nasas Neger is don't approach the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hikun Kras L'Kef Yisrael, you're preparing yourself to approach the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you're doing it with Chet. It's not appropriate. So Zikar is the same thing. You want to do a Zikar with the Chet, it's not appropriate. That's Zikar. You're doing with the Chet. But I think Tosfos learned, this is the main thing I want to say in Tosfos. The Tosfos learned that we left it, we're not going with Bal Yaakov. That's why Tosfos doesn't mention anything about Bal Yaakov. Ein Katega Nasas Neger has nothing to do with being Karev Haloim. It has nothing to do with going to the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam and preparing and going in a way that's appropriate to how you go into the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's not the Nekudah. It's not to be misnor with chatoim. You don't wear chatoim for jewelry. Like a person will have a brooch that looks like the chet egel. It's disgusting. You're making a jewelry out of something that's a chet. And really, by etzem shivishayach b'chutz too. Like I said, except that b'chutz we don't look at zov as reminding me of chet. B'fnim zov is a reminder of chet because it's a higher level. But the kiur here is. The what we rebel against is using chet as an adornment anywhere, except that chet, it's only zov is only chet b'chutz, b'fnim. B'chutz, zov doesn't mean chet. It's not synonymous with chet b'chutz. You can have all kinds of zov. But b'fnim, zov is synonymous with chet. And you don't use chet as an adornment. And that's be'etzem estir. So it has nothing to do with zikaron. So what did I do? So who cares about shofar shofar? I'm not adorning myself with the shofar. The shofar is going in lizikaron, and what does it have to do? It doesn't have this whole notion of chet b'al yisnor. But I'm using chet to adorn myself. The shofar is not adorning me. The Taisus says no. The shofar is adorning you. The kol shofar is an adornment. You're misnor b'kol tkiyos. What that means exactly? Misnor b'kol tkiyos. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe because the kol shofar was mechaper on me, so now it's an adornment for me. Maybe some other idea over here. Somebody there. I'm not quite clear. But I'll put it that much. It says b'ferish in places. That we're not, it's nothing to do with Zikaron. Because what does Zikaron have to do with adornment? We're stuck on adornment. Because the whole issue of Ein Katei Nasas Neger is that the Chet Bal Yisnor, the Chet shouldn't be an adornment. Kol Shofar is not an adornment. So Taisa says, no, Kol Shofar is an adornment. So maybe you have Kol Chet Bal Yisnor. And it's Mifnim. So it's called a Chet. It's called a Miskeres of Chet because in a way we're talking about Mifnim. Yeah. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay, tomorrow is a piece. There's about an omelet over here, half an omelet of Agarata. I'm not going to do that with you. You can do that on your own. Tomorrow I want to start the Mishnah, the next Mishnah. I'll give you a couple of so you should see, first of all, you see the Gemara actually places from the Mishnah till the end, from the Mishnah omelet base till the end of the omelet. That's the main Maram Kodesh, really.
Rabbi, where are we?
What?
Where are we? Chavzayim Beis?
Chavzayim Beis. Shayfa Shil, Yoyal Poshut. The Mishnah Amid Beis. But we're skipping the Agarata. We've got a Chavzayim Amid Beis. Shayfa Shil, Shana Shil, Yoyal Poshut. Till the end of the Amud. With Rashi and Tosfos. Yeah, I think that'll keep you busy. I have some other things I want to bring in, but it doesn't matter. We'll start with Gemara places.
So Mishnah Chavavam Beis until the end of until two dots.
Until two dots, Trey Miley, the end of the Omos.
All right.
Rashi and places. If you could see the Ramban also, if you have time to also see the Ramban, that would be great. Okay, very good. Go to.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you, Rabbi.